name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just when we think we have the one easy answer for earning an A-plus for discipleship, Jesus throws a wrench into the works. Last week, we heard the Good Samaritan story, where the point was, go and do. Love is shown in verbs. Remember? The Samaritan sees, goes, bandages, lifts, takes, gives, pays, and promises. This week, we meet a woman who is doing, and all for the virtue of showing hospitality. But doing is not the key. Stop and listen seems to be the right answer. What happened? Jesus, with his disciples, came to visit Martha and Mary. Mary rolls up her sleeves. Martha rolls up her sleeves, goes to work preparing dinner, purchased fruits and vegetables, had a nice lamb butcher, cleaned a house and shook rugs, chopped vegetables, made salad, put soup on the fire. But Martha is not sure about the seasoning of the soup, so she pokes her head into the living room to get Mary's attention and to her belt. But Mary's just sitting and listening to Jesus. Martha goes back to stir the soup, which has started to simmer, but so has Martha. This story can really irk us. The story can turn us into having to choose between the sisters, Martha or Mary. Which of the sisters are we most like? Who is more important? More faithful, more valuable? It is tempting to enthusiastically defend Martha, especially with all of our Marthas here. Where would we be as a parish without our Marthas? Those who act and give and plan and budget and throw rubbish sales, wash robes, tend to the altar, set up the coffee hour, all so we can be like Mary and listen at the feet of Jesus with our worship together this morning. Our life in the church is dependent on the activity of so many of us. Martha wants help. Is that so wrong? Lord, she asks, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. We might wish that Jesus had said, you're absolutely right, Martha. Let's just all come into the kitchen and help with the dishes. Let's visit while we put away the plates. Many hands make light work, but he doesn't. Instead, he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Only one thing. But some days it is so hard to remember what that one thing is. What if the point of the story is not to pit the sisters against each other, not to choose either of them, but to choose Jesus? To choose Jesus. What if this is not a story about us choosing between Bible study and outreach ministries? Not about choosing between personal Bible study and hands-on service to others. What if it's just about choosing Jesus? Choosing just the one thing he's asking of us, offering to us just now. But what is that one thing? Just before Jesus visits Martha and Mary in our 10th chapter of Luke, he told the story of the Good Samaritan. It's the answer to the lawyer who tests Jesus. Teacher, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him, what is written in the law? The lawyer answers, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says to him, A plus, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. Do this, Jesus says, as it's a simple thing, using these words that mean all-encompassing devotion and commitment. All boiled down to just one word. This. However, although Jesus' math can seem a little loose with two commandments versus the one thing I mentioned earlier, does Jesus consider these two to be inseparable? Loving the Lord your God completely and your neighbor as yourself? The story of the Good Samaritan shows how one loves one's neighbor with actions of compassion and mercy, going and doing. Then Jesus goes to visit Mary and Martha, and we see Mary loving God without distinction or distraction, without worry, resting and listening. If we combine these two stories from chapter 10 of Luke and choose Jesus through both compassionate action and single-hearted focused listening, we will indeed obey the two great commandments. Sounds great, but wait a minute. How will I know when it's time to do and when to sit? When to listen and when to act? When will I meet Jesus in serving the wounded stranger and when in quiet contemplation and prayer? Do this and you will live. Jesus doesn't spell it all out, but listen how he helps Martha, or tries to. Community is important in this story. Martha does the right thing by inviting Jesus into her home, but she doesn't spend time with Jesus or with Mary. And in our story, rather than speak with Mary directly and ask Mary directly for her help, Martha does something that damages community. She triangulates. Jesus, make Mary help me. It's a divisive move. In asking Martha to choose the one needful thing, Jesus invites Martha back into community. He doesn't command, does not shame. He invites and gives a choice. Come join us. I want to be with you. If you choose me, you will gain back your sister. In choosing me, you may learn to love yourself as well as your neighbor. In her frantic, distracted rush, Martha is showing love neither to Jesus or to herself. Put down the lampshank, Martha, and come join us in the fire. When we despair because of what happens in the church, in our parish, in our homes, in effect, we often do a Martha. We rush around in mind or body trying to get things done, trying to fix things as if God has left it all to us and God retired. Instead, we are called with Martha and Mary to love and live in Christ, to get to know him both personally and in our community, to learn from Jesus and to live in Jesus, in whose face we see God. We are to bring to God all we are. Above all, in our thanksgiving, as we eat and drink with God at our altar, we are to be renewed, to gain confidence, to live in love and rejoice, because underneath are the everlasting arms. Do this, and you will live.